Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We want to welcome all of you who have joined us today. Welcome those of you who are meeting in your home fellowships, those who are meeting in the prayer meeting. And we want to say thank you to all of you, those who are meeting at Annette Hall. Thank you for taking the time out and getting a hall and you all gathering together. We want to say thank you to all of you so you can do your hoo, hoo, hoo and all your type of yay, yay, yay stuff. Anyway, it was good to be with you on Thursday. Anyway, the Lord bless you. And today is our Saturday special, but we are celebrating Passover. And we've got three good speakers. I'm putting myself out of this and saying good because they're good people who have the Word of God. I know, Jesus said call no man good. Okay, so Jesus in them makes them good. But we have Pastor Arthur Culpepper. We have Minister Robert Cantu and Minister Sonia Cantu. And they're going to minister. Everyone's going to come and give you a 15-minute what God has put in their heart for this Passover. For those of you who are joining in for the first time, I want to say this, and you don't understand what we're doing, just be a part of it. Sit back, relax. You're going to see God move in your life and in your heart. And just open up your minds and open up your hearts because you might learn something different today. One of the worst things we can ever do in our life is to be biblically illiterate, which is what's happening to the church today, especially in America. The church is biblically illiterate. And at the same time, it's being ignorant. Now, I think it's better to be ignorant than be biblically illiterate. I'm asking Pastor Arthur. But ignorance is also a terrible thing. When we think we know something and we're wrong. And last of all, deception. And by the way, no one knows deception if it wouldn't be deception. So we just want to say these two. Thank you for being a part of it. And I have, of course, my daughter, Millie Esper, is coming. And she, again, is going to lead you in worship as Alyssa Esper plays on the piano. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Well, you better say hi to them.
Hi.
Okay, go ahead.
That's her word. God is good. Amen. He is so worthy. I want to start off with some scripture because that's always important to start off with God's word. So in Exodus, let me bring it up. I didn't write it down where in Exodus. But Moses is saying to God at this point, who do I say that is sending me? And God answers, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And then further down on verse 15, it says, this is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation. And the reason why I want to say this, because during this Passover time, this period that we celebrate God, it is important to recognize that He is the I am that I am. He could have said, I'm the Savior, I'm the Redeemer, I'm the Healer, I'm the Deliverer, but he didn't say that. He said, I am that I am, because he is everything. He encompasses everything that you need. He satisfies, he suffices. He is everything that we need in him. And so every time you say, I am, you have to say, I am a child of God. Right there, you've already put your name, his name, before you. I am healed. I am, because you are, because he is the one that lives in us. He is our deliverer. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that we get to celebrate you during this Passover time. God, that the world recognizes who you are. So, Lord, I ask that you begin to move among the nations, God, to recognize who you are and know you, to know you, not know about you, but to personally have that loving relationship with you, Lord. Because you are the great I am. And we worship you. Come on, let us stand this morning and worship for those that are here. You're so welcome here, God. You're so welcome here. You're my everything, God. You said, I am, I am, I am that I am. So I thank you for that, God. I thank you for that. Lord, we enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. I thank you for the opportunity this morning to worship you, Father, to boldly but humbly come before you in your throne, God. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Come on. Let's have a heart of gratitude. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. I thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for me. I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes, Lord, you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes, you are, God. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Yes, Lord. That is who you are. 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 Come on, he's so worthy. That is who you are, God. You never fail us. You are faithful. You are just. You are righteous, God. You're a good father. You're my redeemer, my shield. You are my shepherd. You are my friend. You are my God. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. That is who you are. Your character never changes. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop 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 working. 'Cause that is who you are. That is who you are. Yes, Lord. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Good Father. That is who you are. Healer. That is who you are. Deliverer. That is who you are. That is who you are, God. That is who you are. Come on. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are, God. You're a good 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 Father. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. When I don't see it, Lord, you're working. When I don't feel it, Lord, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Never stop. Never stop working, Lord. You never stop. Come on, he's so good. He's so good. He's so faithful. He's so just. You are, Lord. We worship you right where you are, God. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Come on. We worship you. Have our hearts, oh God. Have our hearts, oh God. We worship you. We worship you for who you are, God. We worship you because you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. We worship you. We worship you. I live to worship you. this morning, Lord. That is all that we have to breathe, is our hearts to you, God. They don't even have to be put together, Lord, because even you are the mender of the broken heart, God. So we bring our hearts just the way that it is, God, because you are the perfect God that will fix and heal what we need. So, Lord, just have our worship, because that is all that you desire, is for us to love on you and worship you. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you, Lord. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have come to worship you, for you are the Lamb. Revelation says that you're the Lamb that was slain. You are history. All of history is in you. Every part of history. If it's not in you, it's not history. It's just a story. And man is always trying to make you like a story, but you are history. This is not an Easter story or a Passover story. This is the life and story and history of Yeshua, Jesus. And so we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. For those who are watching, you may be seated if you're seated already. For those who are here, you may be seated. Should be a good time today because we've got some good word. And we are dealing with Passover. Now, I want to just say this real quickly. I'm going to give this to Leslie. Those of you who are watching, you know where to get this from. And then you can, if you want to see this, the screen, that is the what I'm doing here, you can go ahead and take that and use your phone to look at it so you can get a screenshot and what's going on. Thank you, Jesus. So Pastor Arthur will be coming later on to close it off. We have Sonia Cantu. We have Robert Cantu. There are a couple, but they'll be coming separately. Maybe one should introduce the other. So after I minister, Sister Sonia is going to come and put what the Lord's put in her heart. And then we're going to break. And I know today we're going to be a little bit longer because of the Passover. And then some of you are going to go into your eating already. I know that some of you already started, if I'm not right, not mistaken, but though in your house you can do that and you're watching. But anyway, right after that, we'll break for 10 minutes, then we'll come back, okay, and then we'll have our 30-minute question and answer, all right? And then we will break off here and go and have our feast for the Lord. Thank you. So I want to talk to you about sparing lives and conquering death. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12 through 13. For I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land. So we see here the word Passover. So one of the first things we understand about the blood of the lamb is that it was a protection. The children of Israel were protected. And the blood today protects. The blood of Yeshua protects. We may not realize it, but it protects. So It was a protection. That's pretty simple to understand that. So there's an anatomy, and those of you can see it on your phone or on your tablet. Those you can't, those who are watching, you can't either, but we'll get all up later. But there's an anatomy of a temporary deliverance. Because really what happened to Israel, they were only delivered temporarily. I know a lot of people don't like to say that, but that's it. Because when they went back out in the wilderness and they disobeyed, they paid a price. So that blood was a temporary deliverance. So it was, the lamb was to be sacrificed, the lamb was to be consumed, and then the rest of the lamb was to be burned. Okay, this is the scripture that says it. So we understand if we read in Exodus 12 and 8, we won't read it, but that's the scripture that speaks about that temporary deliverance. So they were protected, and now let's talk about the deliverance, freedom. This is in Exodus 13, 14 through 15, verses 14 through 15. So freed from slavery and bondage to Egypt. And it shall come be when your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to them, by strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man, firstborn of beast, and therefore the sacrifice to the Lord, and all males that opened the womb. But all the firstborn of my sons I redeemed. So the blood redeems, the blood frees us. When you redeem, somebody goes and pays a price. Okay? But now let's get the Hebrew to this, because if you don't get the Hebrew on it right, this is where the issue comes in. Because there are two words in Hebrew. I'm going back to the biblical foundation. Now, those of you who downloaded this, well, I encourage all of you to download it, because I'm not going to do the whole thing. There's a bigger study as you go further on down. There's even a rabbinical study, the next two ones down. I won't go into that today. And the only reason why we put the rabbinical study is because we want you to see how the Jewish people look at it. Because again, I'm going to say this, there's a lot of ignorance today in the world, in all of us. And I can tell you, first of all, how many people, I don't want to go too far on this, think that the American government runs like the Israeli government? It's two different things. But we think in America it's just like that. We think all countries, the British system is different than America. All right? So we need to get that right. Most people say that, I don't know if you know this, that when you go into other nations, we think it runs off the American system. That's wrong. It's totally different. Colombia, Ecuador, okay, keep going. And this is where they get it wrong with Israel, because Israel doesn't have a president. They have a president who heads the Knesset, but they have a prime minister who runs the country. And basically, he's the full authority. Amen? So they understand that. Not all the way, but most of the way. Even more than the president of the United States, he holds full authority. He can send the military out without getting in with the Knesset. We can hear a little bit, but then when it goes to a major war like ground troops, we have to go before Congress. So what I'm saying to you is this, is understand. That's why I'm doing the Hebrew, because if we don't understand the Hebrew, we get confused. All right? Now, if you don't know about it, fine. You go on, freedom, all right? But there are two words for redeemed. And the first one is the word, Hebrew word, ga'al. And ga'al, G-A-A-L, ga'al, means like Ruth and Boaz. So that Hebrew word talks about him redeeming Ruth, someone that he loved, someone that he knew, even though he didn't know in the beginning, but someone from the family. That's the type of redemption that was on Egypt, against Egypt. God loved Israel, and he redeemed them out of Israel. Amen? And that goes all the way through the Old Testament. Now, once we come in, or the Tanakh, it's not really old. Man named it old. It's just one testament. Are you here? Okay. And I'm going to get there now, but a big Bible publisher back in the 1800 called it old. It was never called that before. Never. In no book. Not even the Catholics call it old. So I'm trying to say something to you, that man adds something, we jump on it, we run with it, and we think that's law, when we should be investigating what is the truth, because truth prevails. So anyway, there's the ga'al, and then we have the padah. And the padah is what Jesus did. Because that redemption is you redeem everyone. Okay? Everyone was redeemed. Amen? Everyone. That's what Christ has done. When I say everyone is redeemed, salvation is for everyone. That's why it's Yeshua. See, Moses' name, Moshe, means to be taken out. All right? Jesus' name, Yeshua, means salvation, two different things. Moses took the children of Israel out, but Moses couldn't save them. And we got to get that right. No man can save you. No prophet can save you. Only Yeshua. That's why he's the only one. There's no other name under that name. Okay? So the first thing, they were protected. Next thing, they were freed. The third thing, they were delivered with the spoils of Egypt. So now the children of Israel did according to the word of Moshe, and they asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Now, before I go any further, and let me just say this. Notice what the scripture says. Why don't you look in Exodus 12. Look at verse 35, and look what it says there. It says, the children of Israel, and I'm just going to draw a little sidetrack on this, for you to pick up on this. Now, the children of Israel did according to the word of Moshe, and they asked the Egyptians, what did they do? According to Moses' word. By the way, that still works today. That's why it's so important that a man of God, a leader, to the best of his ability, walk in integrity. Because here's the reason why. And this is where people get confused today in the church. Because we think that God has flipped and changed. Well, Jesus came, so God has flipped over. God is God today, yesterday, and forever. He has never changed. He never will. The way he deals, amen? By the way, he hated sin in the old. He hated sin in the new. Are y'all here? Come on. The blood sets you free in the old to a certain extent. It sets you forever free in the new. See, it's one thing. Now, granted, we're not bound on the law. Law is not our salvation. Amen? But this law still corrects. The law still tells you right from wrong. Well, I don't need law. Well, then you don't know wrong from right. Amen? Now, in the old days, yeah, the law would literally crucify you for what you did. But now in Christ, he did that. Amen? So what I'm trying to get to is, so it's very important that a man of God, listen to me, those of you pastors who are watching, ministers who are watching, whether you're in a home, in a building, whatever. Hey, a building's a building, whether it's a home or 10,000. We see in America, we made things big and small. We judge by big and small. Let me ask you this. When God goes to service tomorrow or maybe today, he walks around and says, let me go to the big church or the small church first. He goes where he is, knows he's wanted. We need to stop this nonsense. And so success is built in big and more. Well, then God, let me tell you this. Well, on the earth, Satan is the most successful because he's bigger than all of us. See what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's a wrong thing. Amen? So it's important to understand it. Now, the children of Israel did according to the word of Moshe and asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and so forth and so on. So God didn't go to Israel and speak to them. He spoke to Moshe. He spoke to the one who called. So I always say this, and I say it over and over, the key in life is how to trust an imperfect man where a perfect God lives in. That's what your leader is, me. Imperfect man, but a perfect God living in. And now I'm not giving an excuse for sin, but you judge him by his perfection towards God. Amen? So here's the thing. So here's the limit of the shadow and the power of the cross. So again, if you have your thing, you can pick it up. Hebrews 9 says this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offer himself without a spot of God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serving a living God. The shadow is physical protection, temporary freedom, and symbolic foreshadowing. Okay? The ultimate authority is Christ. Eternal salvation, permanent victory over sin and death, a perfect, holy completion. That's a shadow. See, what I'm saying to you is this, during Exodus, and that's why we celebrate it, because it is a celebration. Just for example, you weren't here on 4th of July when originally, but we celebrate it. Why? Because we are part of this country. We respect and honor that time. Are you here? Are you here? When you were born, you didn't realize it, even though you were born, okay? But we celebrate you 30, 40, 50, 80 years later, all right? It's past. Let me say how the Jews look at it. The past is in front. The future is behind, because here's why. If you let God take care, if you look at God in the past, your future will run good. So sparing lives, conquering death. That's what we're called to do. That's what Christ was called to do. So the shadow was, we see it here in Exodus, chapter 12 again. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The conquering death in Christ was the ultimate authority, 1 Corinthians 15:55. Now, they couldn't say it at that time, but we can say it. O death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So this is the preparation, I should say, of a one-time eternal act. It can only be one eternal act. So they were freed. They were protected. They were freed. Hello? And they were delivered. But they died again. Can I throw one more to you? Lazarus would not come back a second time. He had to go. By the way, he did pass, and then Jesus called him back up. Well, he died later, unless he just went with Jesus, as far as, unless some prophet has a revelation on that one, which I worry. Anyway, because if it ain't in the Bible, I don't want it. All right, that didn't go over good for me watching tonight. Because the Bible is my guideline here. And the Spirit will never go contrary to the map. Try that in your car. Say, you know what, I'm going to make a turn here. Forget it. I'm going to go any old way. That doesn't work. Okay? What I'm saying to you is this. The preparation, a one-time eternal act. That's what Yeshua did. Uno. So what Moses did was one time. We celebrate it. They came out, and we can connect with them. People say, why would I celebrate Passover? Do you know that there were people who came into the Passover, that came out of Egypt? It said a mixed multitude. Because Egypt had people all over the world. So a mixed multitude went out with them. So we are the mixed multitude. We are the Gentiles. So we came out with them. Okay, all right. All right. So now it's a one-time act. It's a one-time act. I close with the scripture. Whom God set forth as appropriation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So every sin is covered by the Lord. As long as you understand that and confess that, he has covered me. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to introduce to you, all right, my sister. I don't have any sister, but I got a sister here. I adopted that, my sister. My sister, Sonia Kent.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother. My husband. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless everyone this morning. It's still morning. That was a great, and I'm just really honored to be here celebrating this Passover and just everything that Jesus did. Amen. You know, in this story, I was just reminded when I was, you know, just asking the Lord what it is that, you know, he wanted me to share. And I was just reminded about the two types of people that were affected that day. Amen. There was one that was led to death and one that was led to life. Amen. And it wasn't because of where they came from or their nationality or their ethnicity. It was all because of the God or the gods they chose to serve and follow. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You know, sometimes we feel like we know this world is so temporal, but we might feel like we could be trapped, or you might feel like you just don't know how to get out of all these things, but he was showing us in that Passover day that we can go from death to life. We can go from death to life. That we can go from wrong to right. Amen. And why? Then it was because of the blood of the Lamb. Now it's because of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood, it was the blood. In Exodus 12:13, it says, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Amen. What would take place in days, many, 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 many days ahead in the future, what we call the New Testament? Yeshua. Salvation, Yeshua. Pastor did an amazing job of just defining the temporal blood versus the forever blood. The temporal blood versus the forever blood, salvation. That is our Yeshua. And what I just so eagerly desire, but I know even more so our Lord, he wants us to know, like, yeah, this was an act. This was sacrificial. Not only was it sacrificial, it was obedience to the Father. It was obedience to the Father. But ultimately, he's saying, out of all of that that is technical in the word, it is important for us all to understand that it was love himself. It was love himself who loved us so much that he did this act of obedience and sacrifice. It's the love. We think of the blood, yes, the blood, but it is the love that sets us free. It is him that sets us free. Amen. The way that everyone came out of their home safe that day, untouched, alive, alive, precious, something not to take for granted, could only imagine, was the same way that Jesus busted out of the grave. Amen. Amen. He came out of that grave. He overcame death. And not only did he overcome death, he gave us the opportunity of accepting this gift of eternal life. Amen. That's what he did. And all because of love. I'm so touched by the fact that you are loved. I am loved. Sometimes that's so hard. Love is such a big word. Love is such a big, big word. It's so touchy. You know, some people can hear it. You know, we always talk about sometimes with our kids like that. That's serious. You know, like when they're young and growing up and, you know, you have a teen or, you know, saying something or a high school student. They're saying, I love you. And we're like, you need to be careful. You don't know if that person doesn't feel love and how they'll grab onto that, you know. It's huge because it's a powerful, and that is who he is, and that is what he did for us. Amen. And now that he busted that grave wide open and that he overcame death and he gave us this gift of eternal life, nothing can separate us from that love. Nothing can separate us from that love. The word of God says, and I am... Sister in worship talked about I am. Hallelujah. I am. And I am, can we say, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death or life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why we celebrate. That day is bringing us through the journey of what Jesus did for us and what we can now see because it is revealed through him. It is that love. Amen. It is revealed through Christ alone. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And that's what we have here, and we get to take that with us when we go to be with him once for all. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that Thomas didn't know what Jesus was talking about when he said that he was going to go. He said, I'm going to go. And he says, he didn't know what he was talking about or where he was going and which way he was going when Jesus was trying to talk to the disciples that he was going to have to go. Oh, he didn't know the journey, right? He said, Thomas told him, we don't know where you're going. How will we know the way to get there? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And we have that privilege now We have that privilege, sinners, from death to life, from wrong to right. What a privilege and an honor to be God's chosen people, all because love came down. Love shed his blood. Love resurrected. And love gave us a gift. Didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Because of that blood. And so you know what? We're saying why we remember 4th of July or our birthdays, but even more so like anniversary. It's like an anniversary. You learn from where you were and where you're coming from and where you are. This is what we do when we celebrate this resurrection and this Passover. Amen? The Bible tells us he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and alive for what is right. And by his wounds, we are healed. We're redeemed. We are redeemed people. And we can be convinced of that. Amen? And in Isaiah, it says that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we're healed. Why is that so important? Because this world has so many trials of its own. And we can walk in love and fulfillment and boldness, but we can also walk in this peace. Amen? Again, we are a chosen people. We are a chosen people. And you know, the Lord was showing me, we're not spoiled children of God. We're not, although he spoils us because he just keeps blessing us and giving us favor. That, amen, right? But we're not spoiled children of God, but we're humbled, we're repentant, and we're reverent children of God. So we stand humbly before him. You know, spoiled children take advantage of the gifts that are given to them. Right? Right? But chosen, reverent children humbly accept the gift and honor and cherish it all the days of their lives. And we do. We do. We remember that we reverence him and how we are. That we remember that we repent daily, that we are repentant, redeemed people. Amen? Amen. So I just want to say in closing in this is that we want to continue to give him all the honor and the glory that he is so, he deserves it all. All of this is for him. All of this was from him. And all of it is to him. And we continue in that way. And I just want to bless anyone that is feeling like this is so hard to attain. Like I could never to know it's not. Because it's the love of the Father. It is the love of the Father that he's just giving it to you. It's not by our works. It's not by what we do, but by our faith and our trust. And like he said in his word, it's through him, through Christ alone. So attain it, take it, grab a hold of it, and hold on to it. And let our lives be the representation of his love. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just pray that God will bless us all. This is a new beginning. I pray, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that these new beginnings would just continue to go forth in everyone's life. And if anyone is feeling unloved at this moment, God, I pray that your precious blood would just cover them, that they would come out alive, that they would come out whole, redeemed, and feeling the love of the Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you all. And I want to bring it up and invite, this is my husband, and Robert Cantu. And he has an awesome word for you too. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, babe. Love you. It's a good word. It's a great word. It's a great reminder of God's, how he possessed us in his love, amen? And you know, and it's how he's continued to possess us. You know, we come to recognize Passover. It's more than just a date on the calendar, amen? It is an appointed time, the Bible says, to gather, just like we're gathering here today. Appointed times are agreed to meet times with God. Amen. He says, these are my Passover feast. And every time you agree to meet in these gatherings, I am there with you. So he's there with us here, and he's with us where you're at right now, in y'all's fellowship homes or at your churches right now. Amen? See, this is gathering at the Lord's table in the spiritual. The same way he gathered at that Passover dinner night with his disciples. They were gathered at a table. See, God was preparing their hearts to receive. And that's what he's doing now. He's preparing our hearts to receive, to step into the new beginning of the power of Christ through Passover. And that's why we remember it. He says this, do this in remembrance of me. And we do this in remembrance. You see, Christ has called us. And you know what? You know what something, what a good father does? He repeats himself a lot. Amen? A good father repeats. You know, I remember my dad always, take out the trash. Take out the trash. Take out the trash. Well, it's only been an hour. He told me an hour ago. Why are you telling me three times in an hour? Because I haven't done it yet. And there's many people that haven't done it yet. They haven't accepted Passover yet. But the moment you accept Passover, the moment you truly start getting a revelation who Christ is. See, a good father has to repeat. Why? Because the children do not listen. But the moment the children listen, keep these feasts, these are my appointed feasts. They don't belong just to a secular group. They belong to everyone that comes under the blood of Christ. And if you are under that blood, the requirements are to keep Passover. The Bible says that by his blood we are kept. By his blood we are kept. To the day of fulfillment when our full salvation shall come. So if he's keeping us, we should be keeping the things of God. You see, I always say this, and we always say this in my household. Give God what belongs to God, and he will give you what belongs to you. Amen? These are following the patterns of a heavenly kingdom. Amen? And we must understand that Passover isn't just a calendar day. It is a new season to step into, right? Because remember, when they freed the Israelites from Egypt, the Bible says that they stepped through the Red Sea into the wilderness. The Bible says for 40 years, the shoes on their feet did not wear out. Because why? The Passover pattern, the Passover power. There's powers in these feasts. I believe they take you to the next feast. And then that feast gives you more power to sustain your journey. Because this is a walk in Christ. And we know here as believers, it can be hard. But through the patterns of heavenly patterns, God has designed it to where when you honor these Passover or Pentecost and first fruits and all these beautiful feasts, that it helps you get to your designed destiny. Because we are all destined to be somewhere at the end. And I believe that your destiny depends on the patterns that you keep. And the patterns that you say, I'm breaking out of this pattern. See, there's many patterns in our household and traditions that we were so accustomed to that honestly keep us stuck. But God is calling us to replace patterns with his patterns. And when we learn that patterns are made to be broken in the sense of replaced patterns, then we could follow the pattern of God. You know, I'm reminded that the Hebrew people, their mindset believes that life isn't linear, that life is circular, that you're always going to get another chance to get it right. So let this Passover season be a chance for us to get it right, to not put away the things that are of heaven, but take and possess the possession of heaven today by honoring Passover. You know, I remember when we started proclaiming Passover in this church. And I remember the struggle it was. And my pastor had to pay a price. The congregation left, some of them. But where are we going to go?
Because the Bible, the words, the scriptures, the living word of God, we're speaking through the pastor, the patterns of heaven. And the patterns of heaven arrested this man of God. Hallelujah. Let the patterns of heaven arrest us. Let the patterns arrest you today in your homes, that the pattern of heaven will come and handcuff you to the power. We've been handcuffed by the world for so long, doing worldly patterns, and it doesn't supply what we need here on this earth to have joy in the peace of chaos, to have peace in the middle of chaos, to have love in the middle of hate. I mean, these things are beautiful. We got to understand that the Lord is preparing each and every single one of us to go into new patterns of our life. You see, following the patterns of God is so important. You know, Jesus says to keep the Passover. Keep it. In the Old Testament, it says that Moses, that the Lord told Moses this: follow the patterns that I show you. Follow the patterns that I show you so that I might dwell with you. You want God in your home? You want God in your church? You want God in your heart? Follow the patterns of God. Because Jesus dwells in heavenly patterns. He lives in the patterns that he's already predetermined for you to live. And Jesus is telling us right now. He's telling you right now. These are my appointed times. I've agreed to meet with you. You want to meet God? Keep his pattern. Listen what God is telling us today. When you and I come into an agreement with a divine pattern, our God shows up. He shows up. He's not going to stand you up this morning. He's not going to stand you. I've been stood up before. You're there waiting and that person never shows. God will never stand you up. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He said that at the cross. He will never. Following God's patterns will take you further. It will take you farther than you can ever, ever imagine. Ever imagine. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3. What does it say? Call unto me and I will answer you. Hello? And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not even know. That's a scripture we hold tightly in our home. I will answer you. What does that mean? That means that heaven isn't silent. When you call, Jesus Christ will answer through the Holy Spirit. See, the truth is that there are hidden truth about you. There's hidden truth about you and me that we haven't even discovered yet. You know, I'm reminded when John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus haven't even died on the cross yet. See, John was already proclaiming and pointed to his future. The truth was that Jesus wasn't even the Lamb yet. He had to, by his obedience, by the will of the Father, he was transformed. See, the Bible says he had to strip off his glory, because if he never stripped off his glory, he could have never died at the cross. And now we put on the glory that he stripped off so that we don't die here. See, the truth is that there's many things about you and me that are hidden in these feasts, in these Passovers. There's many truths about it that we discover about ourselves, our identity. Because our identity depends on the patterns that we keep and the patterns that we break. We must be a people who follows the patterns of God. Amen? Amen? Because why? Because it applies the blood over our lives daily. Every day it applies the blood. In Exodus, the lamb wasn't enough just to be killed. They had to dip down and take that blood and they had to apply it. And we apply it right now by meeting together. We apply it by faith. The Bible says, Hebrews 11:28, by faith Moses established the Passover and he spread the blood so that the destroyer would pass over. I want every man, listen, You, fathers, men of your home, establish it. Establish it. By faith. I remember when COVID hit, everybody was scared. And by faith, we did something in the physical. What we were feeling in the spiritual. We put the red, remember when we did that? We put the red towel over the doorpost. We just did it in faith. And you know what? No one in my house got sick that first year. And I think we moved. The moment we moved, we never put that red thing back. And guess what? I got sick. And I'm not saying that, you know, trust me, it's not about the red towel over your door, but it's about the faith. Establish it, men. Establish it, because the Bible says that when Moses did it, everybody in his household was covered. You want to cover your children? You want to cover your wife and your kids? Establish Passover and see the power. Apply the blood by faith. You want to destroy evil patterns in your life? Apply the blood. How? By obeying the word of God by faith. If God could use a murderer like Moses, who recognized the pattern when it was stood in front of him and he obeyed it, he could use you. And God doesn't check your past. He checks for the blood. That's all he does. He checks for the blood. The purpose of keeping the Passover pattern. It reminds us of who we are and what the blood is still doing. What it's still doing. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood. Romans 5:9, through Christ he has given us of God's approval. The blood says you are made right with God. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19, the blood says you are bought back with the price. Colossians 1:12, the blood says you are no longer an enemy to God. Hebrews 10:19, the blood says come boldly. The blood didn't just save you, it positions you. The blood positions you right under to be perfect. The blood says it doesn't matter how you feel, because the blood is over you. Hebrews 10:14, for by one sacrifice he has perfected forever those who are being made holy. Those who are, that's you. You're already made perfect. You're already made perfect. You don't got to get perfect. You're made perfect because of the blood of Christ Jesus in you. Amen? So I encourage you today, as you walk this thing out, as you apply the godly patterns over your life, it will sanctify you. It will consecrate you. It will set you apart, holy and consecrated unto the Lord. And you will start having the fruits of the Spirit that we need so badly in our churches, in our homes nowadays. That we need it so badly. We need it so badly. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These things that we could only get one way, by following patterns of God and by the blood of Christ Jesus that redeemed us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just so on fire, man, for what God's doing in this week. And I love every single one of you. I haven't even met you, those that are watching, those in this room. And I want to introduce somebody that has spoken and prayed over me and has prophesied over me the blood of Jesus, Arthur Culpepper, my good brother and my good friend in the faith. Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, how do you follow all of that? Why did they give me the last go around? I got to follow that. I mean, if you haven't gotten anything so far, I've got about four different thoughts running four different directions, and there's only been three speakers. You know, every one of the speakers have talked about the Passover, and I want to elaborate a little bit more on it, but I want to take it into today. What does it mean today? It's one thing about looking. We look at the past to know that God's going to take care of the future. That's what it was to remind them of. And something that a lot of people won't mention this, but I'm going to. Everybody that was delivered in the Passover, everybody that came out of Egypt, only two of them made it to the Promised Land. Two adults. Only two adults that came out of Egypt made it to the Promised Land. Why? Because they had it in here, but they didn't have it in here. They didn't let the Passover get in here. And there's a lot of Christians that have not gotten what they're supposed to get because of the sacrifice. I'm going to read to you out of Isaiah's gospel. The gospel according to Isaiah. That doesn't make any sense to modern people, but that's what it happened. And I'm going to read to you out of a translation that some people like, some people don't. Well, if you don't like it, just get over it. Just cut me some grace. But this is the amplified version, starting in verse 4. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses." That's why they call it amplified. They go and look at the original word and try to bring out the different aspects of the, so you get a fuller picture. You're not going to get a full picture of reading this word one time. You're going to get a full picture when you read this word and then ask the author, "What did you mean?" And I don't care how many times you read it, he'll give you a different one every time, if you're willing to receive it. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten of God, smitten and afflicted by God as with leprosy." You know, lepers in the old covenant were considered God-cursed. They were to walk around saying, "Unclean! Unclean!" Illegal for them to be out unless they were unclean. And Jesus said, now go, when he cleansed the lepers. You know, one of the first miracles Yeshua did was a leper came to him and said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." He said, "I will," and he broke the law. Touched him. And immediately his leprosy was gone. And they wanted to crucify him then because he touched the leper. Talk about straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Something nobody could do, and he did it. But I'm here to tell you, and that's part of my job, is to tear up your religion. Religion is man-made. You want God's religion? Read it in James. Pure religion and undefiled before God is to keep yourself unspotted from the world, take care of the widows and the orphans. Are you doing that? If you're not, your religion's worthless. Be a lot of religious people in Hades. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities, and the chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. All we, like sheep, have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him, and the Lord has laid upon him, and the Lord has laid upon him, the Lord has laid upon him. It made to light upon him the guilt and iniquity of us all." Word iniquity is unusual. The root word means perverse. And to be perverse is not to think like God. You are perverse if you're not thinking like God. You're perverse if you're not acting like God. But this says he laid the guilt of that and the punishment of it and all of it on him. He bore it. That's why when you go over there to Isaiah 55, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But right before that, he said, let the wicked man forsake his way. What's wicked? Perverseness. That's why John said in his epistle, he said, I write this to you that you sin not, but if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua, the righteous one. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from sin. And the blood of Christ continually cleanses us, continually cleanses us. Why? Because you're talking about it. When you're applying this word, the word doesn't mean anything to you unless it's coming out here. Your problem is 1 inch below your nose. It's 1 inch below your nose. Because you speak what you really believe. Now I'm going to turn and give you the New Testament on these verses. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. I encourage you to read all of, sit down and read all of Isaiah 53 and then turn over to 1 Peter and read all of 1 Peter. 5 chapters. If you're a slow reader, it'll take you 30 minutes. If you read like average people, maybe 15 minutes and you'll be done. But don't read it just to read it. Read it and ask as you're reading, Lord, speak to me while I read. And you may not get off of one verse for the next 2.5 hours. If you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and speak through you. You know, Paul said, so while you're turning there, Paul said something and a lot of Christians miss verse 1. They go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and it says that for the renewing of your mind. But verse 1 says, submit yourself therefore. Let your body, submit yourself. Submit your body as a living sacrifice. Verse 2, it says, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. We read chapter, verse 2, be not conformed to this world. But you can't do that unless you submit your body. And the moment you submit your body, my mind says, when you submit your body, God declares it holy and righteous. When you submit it, he declares it. See, when you brought your lamb to the priest, he had to determine whether it was holy or not. But that says, submit your body holy and acceptable. He's already declared it holy. When you submit it, you're holy. You mean I got 5 left? Wow, I got to hurry up. They have to do that to me, put the timers back there. 2 Peter 2:24 said, he personally bore our sins. And I encourage you to read the previous part because he says he did that without opening his mouth. He personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree, as on an altar, offering himself on it, that we might die, cease to exist. I cease to exist to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like so many sheep, but now you have come back to the shepherd and guardian, the bishop of your souls. Submit yourself to the bishop of your souls. There's so many things that I'm going to add this in right here. This is the other track that I was running on in my mind. In Isaiah 61, Jesus stood in Nazareth and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me and hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are held captive, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And it says he handed the book back to the attendant, closed it, sat down. He didn't finish the verse. The next part of that verse, "to declare to you the vengeance of our God." Passover was the vengeance of our God. He destroyed Egypt. When Christ died on the cross and said, "It is finished," what did he do? The scripture says he went to hell. And he preached to the captives in hell. And then he said, "Give me the keys." And he rose with the keys of death and hell. And Hebrews tells us that he destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil is a zero. He has no authority over you. What he wants control of is this orifice in your face. If he can get you to agree with him, he's got you. If God can get you to agree with him, he's got you. That's why Matthew said, Jesus, quoting Jesus, he said, "Out of every word that comes out of your mouth, you will be justified or you will be condemned." Put God's word in your mouth. Another food for thought. I almost got up and started running when Sonia was up here. When she said, "I am." "I am that I am sent you." Oh, I got 2 minutes. I can do this one in 2 minutes. You're the only created being. Man is the only created being that has the authority to say, "I am." So when you say, the scripture says, the first commandment is don't carry God's name in vain. So make sure whatever you say, "I am," whatever follows that, better line up to who I am in. I am healed. I'm redeemed. I'm holy. I'm a son of God. I'll live forever. Jesus is no longer the only begotten Son of God. He's the firstborn from the dead. And if you've been baptized in water, you have already been raised from the dead. You'll never see death. When this body ceases to breathe, your spirit will be immediately in his presence. He tasted death so you don't have to. You don't even feel it. I've heard all kinds of testimonies about people that went over to the other side and God sent them back because they weren't done. I'm not leaving until I'm done. I figure I got at least 50 more years. You got to guess how old I am. If you have never, you that are watching me, listening to me, if you have never made Yeshua the focus and center of your life, today's the day. This is the moment you can change your eternal destiny and the eternal destiny of everybody that you will contact with. But you have to do it. You have to confess him as your Lord and Savior. You have to invite him into your life. He's been in your life your whole life. You just haven't recognized it. Father, thank you. Thank you for the anointing that's in this house and the anointing that's on these airwaves. I speak deliverance, Father, in the name of Jesus. I speak deliverance over every person listening to me. I decree it. You said I was covered. Isaiah said you covered us with your hand and you put your word in us that we can plant the heavens, which means we plant the heavens, which means we fix it in the heavens and the earth is transformed. I decree deliverance. I decree healing. I decree restored marriages. I decree the prodigals are coming home. The prodigals are coming home. I rebuke hopelessness in the name of Jesus. The spirit of hope, I release it over the church in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that this message is the messages that have gone forth from this house today. Everyone under the sound of the words that have happened here. They can walk in wholeness just exactly like they did at the first Passover. When they partook of the Passover, everybody was healed. Everybody. There was not a feeble one among them when they left Egypt. Not a feeble one among them. And if you receive the Passover message, you will not be feeble. We receive it now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Pastor Richard.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just got this email in. As a pastor, I'm very happy. I got to watch the broadcast. It was great and made me proud. You've done good for everyone who spoke. I look forward to more good work. Blessings in God. Amen. So we thank you for joining us. Father, we thank you. We thank you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. You can pray with those of you who are in your home fellowship, the elders. You can pray with them. Those who are watching, you're at home by yourself, you can pray to the Lord. And if you've asked Christ to come into your life or made that step, then you can continue to pray before the Lord. Amen. And God will do that. Amen. Is God good? Is God good? All right, well, we're going to break for about 10 minutes, and you can get refreshments, whatever, and then we're going to come back and do the Q&A, and we'll close off on the Q&A, and we already have questions in. You can send your questions in. We won't be answering those today, but we do have questions in right now, so we'll work on those, and we'll be back. Amen?
Can we make sure that the monitors are off so we're not listening to the echo or anything?
The monitor's off, make sure the reverb is off.
Yes, please.
Hold it up!
Only when I'm singing. Test, 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 test. Test.
Wow.
I should get mom's mic.
Creelo.
Okay, here is Lillian. Wait for it. Okay, here is Jade. We're missing Arthur.